Last week, we concluded a study in the end times. And our study concluded with the topic of heaven. And on Friday night, our small group was talking about heaven. And I mentioned to our group that C.S. Lewis had an observation about heaven that I find to be fairly accurate. And that is that he said, every unfulfilled desire here on this earth has its fulfillment ultimately in heaven. You know, you have those experiences in your life, and you just find them kind of leaving you a little hollow. I think my mic's kind of cutting in again, so I'm going to use this one. You find that there are those experiences that cut in and cut out like a microphone, They feel fulfilling, but then when they're done, they leave you almost kind of empty. And C.S. Lewis says those are the experiences that give us a sense that there must be more, and that that fulfillment ultimately lies in heaven. So we talked about it as a small group, and talked about those experiences we've had in our lives where we've felt like we caught glimpses of heaven. Steve Ruff told us about a time fairly recently when he was in the hospital, and there's people in the room next to his, and he looked in the room, and there's this family was together, and they were just sharing together, and the sunlight just came into the room. He said there was just something about that moment, that family there together, and the sunlight coming in. He said, I just felt like it was part of something that was eternal. And then Mark Van Den Aren said, sometimes, you know, when you're in worship and you're singing songs of praise, and you just kind of get this feeling that this is just a taste of what heaven might be like. Some of you can think about some of those things that give you those sensations. I remember for me, one of those occasions was at a Promise Keepers conference. Promise Keepers was a men's event that was popular about almost 20 years ago now. And I went to an event down in Washington, D.C., and there were some 40,000 men gathered in this stadium. And as we were in the stadium, 40,000 men singing songs of praise to God, I found myself thinking, this must be what it's like to be gathered with multitudes of people before the throne of God singing praise. And every now and then you have those experiences in your life, it just gives you a sense there must be some more. Well, this week, as I've been thinking about this service, and I've been thinking about Psalm 145, which is a psalm that I want you to be thinking about today, I think this psalm gives us a sense of heaven. In fact, I'd like to go so far, I can't say this is actually true in terms of an exegetical study of the passage, but I think this passage reminds me of conversations that we're going to have in heaven. The subject matter, as you'll see as we look at this psalm briefly, gives you a kind of a glimpse of what's going to happen in heaven. And as I share for the next couple minutes, my purpose in what I'm going to be doing is really to set the table for Thanksgiving. We don't have a physical meal in front of us, but we have the opportunity to satisfy our souls with thanksgiving and praise. And I think this psalm gives us some foundation for that. And one reason I think that this is typical of the conversations we're going to have in heaven is as you read the psalm, it begins and it ends with praise. The psalmist says, I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. And then the psalm ends with praise. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. This is a psalm about praise forever and ever. And because heaven is an eternal reality, I think one of the things we're going to be doing in heaven is praising God. And the things that this psalm talks about reminds us of some of the many things for which we have cause to praise Him. Now, to understand the psalm and what it's saying, it's important to know a couple things. One is that this psalm is an acrostic. An acrostic is a poem where each line begins with a different letter, in this case, in a letter of the alphabet. You know, we sometimes do acrostics like thanks, and you have a poem, and the T for thanks stands for the many things God has done for us, and the H for thanks stands for heaven, my new home, and the A for thanks stands for always praising God, something like that, and you make something out of the first letters of the alphabet. Well, that's what David did when he wrote this psalm. He wrote with the ABCs of the Hebrew alphabet, so it begins with Aleph and goes through the Hebrew alphabet, and so each of the lines starts that way. And that's why, as you read it, it may not flow quite as simply as some psalms. And yet, as you read through this, like I said, this psalm gives us a picture of the goodness of God and of His awesome works for us. And that's why he praises God throughout the psalm, because of His goodness and because of His awesome works. So it begins and it ends with praise, and in the middle is all the reasons why the psalmist praises. And in fact, I really like the third verse. He says, "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom." It's no wonder that we're going to be praising God throughout eternity, because there's no limit to all the things that God has done that gives us reason to give Him thanks. I think of the end of the song, "Amazing Grace." When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Because His goodness is fathomless. There's no way we're going to ever reach the end of those things for which we can thank and praise God for. And like I said, I see this psalm as something of a conversation. And I think the next few verses of the psalm are where I get this idea. Listen how the psalmist proceeds. He says, "Great is the Lord," or excuse me, one generation, verse 4, "will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness." It's almost like this is what they're going to say, and then this is what I'm going to say. And he's kind of anticipating what this conversation is going to be like. And you can imagine people who are excited about being in heaven and reflecting on all of God's goodness. This really is a conversation that could take place around a Thanksgiving table. Maybe it will. Maybe it'll take place around your Thanksgiving table this Thursday, because it's a conversation between generations of people. Grandpa's sitting at the table and he says, "You know, I remember back when God did such an amazing thing in our lives." And then somebody else said, "Well, just this last week, God did something amazing. And isn't God good?" And the conversation goes on, and it's a conversation that I think can take place on a Sunday morning, when we begin to reflect on God's goodness, on His mighty and awesome acts, and His gracious goodness to us. So it's a psalm of conversation. If that's the conversation, then the rest of the psalm really gives the substance of what that conversation is about. He says in verse 8, "The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all that He has made." It just reflects on God's goodness, His compassion. Have you seen God's compassion this year? Has God been good to you? when you gather at Thanksgiving, at your tables, when you come together today, it's something to think about. He says, all you've made will praise you, O Lord. All your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. David thinks, in his relationship with God, he's part of something that's not just going to last as long as he lives as king of Israel. It's something that's eternal. And you realize if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior today, the Bible says that God has rescued you from the dominion of darkness and brought you into his eternal kingdom. Have you stopped to think how awesome it is to be a child of the King, to have the hope of heaven and the hope of sharing all of God's blessings with him, not only now, but for all eternity? The psalmist doesn't stop there. He goes on to speak of God's faithfulness. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made. The Lord upholds those who fall. He lifts up those who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in their proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. God is faithful to meet our needs. Has there been a time this past year where you found yourself anxious about something, really uptight, and now you look back on it a few weeks, a few months later, and you realize God's been faithful? I almost forgot about that, but he met that need. The psalmist is just reflecting on God's goodness. And then he talks about his righteousness. It says, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving towards all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him and to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. God is righteous. And he acts and works in truth. And yet God is also gracious. And in spite of our failures and our sins, because he is righteous, he took upon himself our sinfulness and gave us the opportunity to be his children. The psalmist, this is just kind of touching on what this psalm is about, but he's reflecting upon the goodness of God. He looks upon the great acts of God. And as he sees that, this is the conversation of heaven. Praising God is the natural result of a God who is who he is and does what he does. That's what this psalm is about, and that's what this service is about. And that's why I wanted to start by setting the table, by just getting you to think about some of those things. Hasn't God been good to you in this past year? As we sing songs of praise, as you reflect upon the year, allow yourself to think about those things that God has done. And sing not just about something else, but sing from your heart about what God has done in your life. And as you do that, your heart too, like mine, will overflow with praise and thanksgiving to God. As we get ready for the service, I'd like to just ask you to sing with me the first and the last verses of Amazing Grace. We'll sing it a cappella, so you need to sing it loud so you can sing louder than me. And just reflect upon God's amazing grace, and that it's a grace that we'll be singing about for a long, long, long time.